Hello, this is Dane. Welcome to another of my reviews on Blind Cool Tech. And today, I continue, if you like, in the field of radio. First, my email address, and that's d.trethowan, T-R-E-T-H-O-W-A-N, @me.com. That's d.trethowan. @me.com, and I'll give that address at the end of the podcast again for you and your convenience. So the product I'm looking at today is the CCSW radio, CC standing for Sea Crane. This was prompted by a review last year done on the CC EP radio, that's the Sea Crane EP radio. As those who listened to the interview will recall, this radio was a simple analog device which had very sensitive AM and FM reception. And I was impressed enough by that interview to purchase one of these radios, which I did. Thus, the encouragement I got from looking at Sea Crane's website to explore their radio range further. The website, by the way, is www.seacrane.com. Now, if you have a look there, you'll find all sorts of bits and pieces, including a section on radios, which I visited, obviously, to buy my CCEP radio. I also bought the CCSW radio, which is the shortwave radio we're going to review today, and the CC2 radio, which is the new Sea Crane radio based on the original Sea Crane radio that came out around about 11 years ago. And I'm sure many of you will know it, as I know a lot of you own them. However, that's for another time perhaps, and another place for discussion. I also purchased the CC Observer radio, which is the wind-up emergency radio. So back to the CCSW. Now, there are two CCSW radios, a pocket, I haven't purchased that one yet, and the standard CCSW radio, which I purchased. And it's around about $130, and I consider that $130 incredible value and money certainly well spent. So why do you need a shortwave radio? The main reason I got it was obviously to scan the shortwave bands, and something that would do that at a reasonable price, which this does and does well. But also, there is going to come a time, I am absolutely sure, that shortwave again will play a big part in disseminating information from point A to point B. For example, we don't know what the future holds. Now, suppose a country puts one of the satellites that are orbiting the Earth out of action, and that can severely impact upon communications, your internet, the cell phones, networks, that sort of thing. Now, don't think I'm being alarmist, because this has already happened to various degrees, and I'm sure our friends in the US can talk about that quite openly. So it therefore makes sense to have something that can receive shortwave broadcasts. And this was made perfectly clear to me a couple of weeks ago when we had the earthquake in New Zealand. New Zealand isn't all that far away from Australia. In fact, the discussion is often held here whether we should merge with New Zealand to form one entity as a country. On the day of the earthquake, which was only a day or two after I received the CCSW radio in the mail, I just happened to be scanning around the shortwave bands, and what should I pick up but Radio New Zealand doing live coverage of the earthquake situation from Christchurch. At the time, no Australian broadcasters were picking this up, although it didn't take them long to take the Radio New Zealand feed. And I thought, well, here we go again. We've got shortwave giving us the information that we may need. And for those people in Australia who want to keep on top of what's happening, they might have relatives in New Zealand affected by the disaster, then obviously this is one way they can keep tabs on the situation. And I had no hesitation in putting some tweets on Twitter about that as I was listening. So I think that's enough reason alone to have a shortwave radio. And as I said, the CCSW is cheap enough at $130 given what it does. And I'm sure you'll agree with me once I've gone through it. And the CCSW Pocket would be another good choice given the reviews I've seen of it from the Sea Crane website. So on to the radio. It was once said in a review of a Sony shortwave radio around about 36 years ago that the Sony radio reviewed at the time was big and beautiful. I think I would be doing the CCSW a huge favour in describing it as big and beautiful. It looks like a 70 shortwave radio. It has knobs and dials and buttons on it. It's very retro looking. So let's explore the front of it now. On the left hand side on the front, up the top is the speaker. Below the speaker, on the left is the headphone socket. To the right of that is the RF gain control. The bass is next, the treble, and then the volume. All well spaced, all well laid out knobs. The volume is the bigger of the four. Now, these knobs have pointers on them, so you can adjust them, but they're not terribly exposed. So you have to look around the knob to find them. And the knobs have inner dials, for want of a better description, and you will find the pointer on those inner dials. So don't look on the outside for it, or don't look on the outside of the knob. Okay, above those knobs we have two dials, two of the familiar type of pointing knobs, you might call them, that were common on shortwave receivers. The bottom one controls the band. You have AM or medium wave. Turning it to the right, you have SW1. To the right again is SW2. And to the right again is SW3. So I'll just turn that back to AM. And as you can hear, they've got nice reassuring clicks. And they're not too hard to turn. The dial's not too hard to turn. So you may be thinking that three shortwave bands don't give you all that much coverage. Well, in fact, they do. So let's look at the frequency ranges of each. The medium wave band, depending on where you are and depending on how you have the step selector switch set, if you're living outside North America, you'll be wanting to use 9 kilohertz steps, in which case the medium band covers 522 to 1620 kilohertz. So that's my first criticism of the radio. The AM band in Australia, at least, with a 9 kilohertz step, has been increased to 1710 kilohertz, and for the life of me, I can't see why the AM band shouldn't go up that far. However, that's a minor criticism of the radio, and I have other radios here from Seacrane that'll compensate for that extra band space. Now, if you're living in North America and you're using 10 kilohertz for your frequency steps on the medium wave band, and you have the step selector switch set accordingly, the frequency ranges from 520 to 1710 kilohertz. To the shortwave 1 band, and that goes from 1710 kilohertz right up to 10 megahertz. A bit beyond that, but we'll say 10 megahertz, and that can be easily proved because you can go to the top of the band and use the up down arrow key to go down a few steps and listen to WWV, or you can use the dial to listen to that as well. So shortwave 2 goes from 10 megahertz to 20 megahertz, and obviously shortwave 3 fills in the rest of the gap from 20 megahertz to 30 megahertz. So that's the whole shortwave spectrum covered. Don't expect SSB on this set. We'll talk about that a little later. So that's the shortwave band selector dial. Above that is another dial, which has to do with the bands. I call it a sub-band selector. The position on the left is AM shortwave, wide. So in other words, it's invoked a wide narrow filter. Turning it to the right turns the wideband filter off, so you're in AM narrow. Click to the right again is FM mono, and the further click to the right is FM stereo. Above these dials is the LCD display, which is fairly large, and that extends from the right of the speaker to the right edge of the radio. So to the right of the dials, the band dials, we have a very large rotary tuning knob, which has a wonderful feel to it, as though someone has put a whole ton of engine oil behind it. It can't be knocked too easily, but yet it has a very nice thick feel to it when you turn it. So you can turn it as slowly or as quickly as you need to tune up and down the bands. Above the rotary tuning knob are three buttons which control the speed of the knob. The first button locks it completely, the middle one is slow, and the right is fast. So you can, for example, press the middle button and have the tuning knob tune in 1 kilohertz steps on the medium wave band. Let's just have a look at this now. I'll just turn the radio on. And on the net at springbrowcaravans.com.au. Now you'll have to excuse me because I've had to move the radio a fair way away from the Zoom H1 recorder as the recorder interferes with it. So I'm listening to a radio station on 1377 kilohertz now, and it's a fairly distant station. It doesn't put in a good signal out here, but this radio does very well at picking it up. Not too many radios do. So if I move the tuning knob, you can hear the tuning knob clicking as the frequency changes.
you feel more alert, according to research from the
Smith. Now, for more accurate stepping, you can use the up and down buttons to accurately pinpoint and tune the signal. As I've done, I'm on 1179 kilohertz now. So that's how the tuning knob works, basically. As you can hear, it clicks. I found this a little annoying when I first got the radio. However, as I've got used to using it, I find the clicks very handy because I'm able to know that the radio is changing frequency. If you're using line out on the radio, you don't hear these clicks. That's worth remembering. And you may find it advantageous to use the line out. More about that later. So the tuning knob and the three buttons above it. To the right of that, we have two columns of four buttons. The top two are your up and down buttons. The next two are your timer A and B buttons. This radio has two timers or alarms, so you can set them to allow you to wake up to a memory in the radio or an alarm. Now, the next four buttons, I'm not exactly sure of their functionality yet. I'm still learning about this magnificent radio. So for updates on my progress, you may like to look at my blog, which has several articles about this radio on it already, as I've progressed and learnt more about it. One of the buttons in this four is the memory button, and one of them is your SW button. And what this does is it takes you to the ends of each band. So if you're not sure where you are and you want to start again, you can press this button and it will take you back to the start of the band that you're listening to. The radio has a dual clock function, so you can set one clock to GMT or US CUT time, which is the standard that broadcasters on the shortwave band use, and you can set another to your local time for your convenience. Below these eight buttons is a small pen hole for reset, and you may need to use this function from time to time to clear the radio if it is not functioning as expected, and with any computerized device that can happen. On the top right hand corner on the front, on the right edge of the display, are three more buttons. The top and the bigger of the three is the power on off button. I'm not exactly sure what the middle button does, but I suspect it's to do with setting the clock. And the third button of the three is the lock button. You press it, the radio locks, you hold it for 1 second, and the radio unlocks. The other thing about these buttons are that they are multi-function, or in some case triple function buttons. In other words, they perform one function when the radio is on, possibly another when the radio is off, and yet another if the button is held down. A perfect example of this I've found is the power on off button. If held down briefly when the radio is on, the sleep timer is adjusted in various increments from 30 minutes to 120 minutes. Okay, on the top of the radio are two buttons. A very large button, which is your snooze button. It's obvious what that does. And to the right of that, a very small button, which is your light button. Again, this is a multifunction button. If pressed, the light will turn on for 2 seconds. If held down, the light will stay on. If the radio is run on power, then the backlight is always on. So I'll turn the radio around a little, and on the right hand side are 3 switches. The top of the 3 is your keyboard light setting. When up, key lights are activated when any button is pressed, and they stay on for 8 seconds. When down, key lighting is off, and that's probably the best position to have, particularly when you're running the radio on battery. The switch below that is your local DX switch. Very effective when listening or trying to listen out for DX or long distance stations. You may wish to use this switch on the shortwave bands or AM bands if there are very powerful transmissions near you. The local DX switch does not work on the FM band, and neither does the RF gain control. Below that is the external antenna switch, enable or disable, and I'll have a little more to say that about that shortly. On the left hand side at the top is a dust cover. When this is forced back, it reveals 2 RCA sockets for line out. And it's the first time I've seen RCA sockets on a portable, and it makes a nice change. I think that line out should be RCA sockets, as most line ins are, so it's easy to get a matching patch cord. The levels of the line out sockets are not loud, they're what I'd say to be medium, and that suits me fine for a radio of this caliber. Of course, you get FM stereo through the line outs as you do through the headphones if you set the selector to FM stereo as described earlier. Below the RCA sockets is a power switch. This radio is unlike others I've seen in that it has 2 battery compartments. One holds 4 D flashlight type batteries, and the other holds 4 AA penlight type batteries, and you can switch between these 2 different battery sources. This makes it incredibly versatile. For example, your D batteries may run low when you're traveling, so you can switch to the AA batteries as a backup until you're able to buy some more D batteries. And added to this is the radio's built-in charging circuit. Below the battery select switch is the external power socket, which takes a 9-volt center negative 500 milliamp supply. When the supply is connected, the backlight of the radio remains on, and the charging circuit can be activated to charge the batteries. By pressing the memory button when the radio is powered off, the charging circuit is activated. And some interesting notes about this. The charging circuit remains activated for 12 hours and then turns itself off. This should be plenty of time to charge the penlight batteries if you are using those, rechargeable type, and you have the selector selected for those. So if you're using rechargeable D flashlight size batteries, they're obviously going to need a little more charge. 40 hours is recommended in the manual, so you're going to have to switch the charging circuit on again after the 12 hours has elapsed. A little inconvenient, perhaps, but you can't have everything, I suppose. I would have thought that the radio could have worked out, given the fact that it uses a microprocessor, that you are using rechargeable D flashlight batteries, given that you've selected that with the selector switch and therefore left the charging circuit on for 40 hours. However, a minor inconvenience in my opinion. There is space below the power socket on this left-hand side panel. I suspect that on another model of radio of this type, that this space would have been meant for an AC power socket. Certainly, if you look at the left-hand side of the radio at the rear, there are vents there that look as if a transformer was meant to be mounted in that location. Interesting to know if such a model exists with a transformer in it and what features it boasts or doesn't boast that this radio does. Okay, at the back at the top is the telescopic antenna, which is a nice lengthy thing. You will need to collapse two of the sections of it if you're listening to the FM broadcast band. The outside of the antenna has been given a plastic coating so that when you touch it, your touch isn't going to interfere with your reception. The whip antenna is effective on FM and shortwave bands. Looking at the rear of the radio now, on the left we have some air vents, and on the right is a panel with various connections on it. On the left we have a coaxial FM antenna connection. In the middle we have the antenna and earth terminals for your shortwave antenna, and on the right is an IF out, intermediate frequency out, for other devices. You may, for example, connect your computer to this radio for the decoding of SSB, CW transmissions, DRM transmissions, teletype, and so on. The the antenna and earth connections do not work on the medium wave band. They are only effective on the shortwave band, and the external antenna switch located on the right-hand side of the radio controls these terminals and the FM coaxial socket. I'm a little disappointed with Sea Crane that they've done things this way with the antenna and earth terminals. I was very much looking forward to connecting this radio to my Sea Crane tunable twin coil antenna on the AM band. So the only way I can do this now is to use the coupling ferrite stick that comes with that kit. I don't know why Sea Crane have done that. It's the first shortwave radio I've encountered of this type that won't allow you to connect an external antenna on the medium wave band. So I can only hope that Sea Crane will correct this, what I term an oversight, in the next model. Below the connections is the battery compartment, which I've already described, has two compartments for batteries, four pen lights and four D size. Battery cover slips off, and I suggest you be careful when slipping the battery cover off, as the catch is rather thin and can be easily broken, and the cover is rather large. So that pretty much sums up the controls of the radio as far as I've learnt them. So as you can appreciate, it's well laid out, well spaced, and easy to get around. So some notes about reception and sensitivity of this radio. If you're looking for a sensitive radio, you will not be disappointed with this set. Is it as sensitive as the Sea Crane EP radio? I would say the Sea Crane EP may be a little more sensitive than the Sea Crane SW, and that's understandable. One is running on an analog circuit and one is running on a digital controlled circuit. However, the circuitry for reception in the CCSW is far better than that in the CCEP. The circuitry in the CCSW is dual conversion, and that means that you are not going to get much of the overloading problems that you get with the CCEP radio. And the classic example is here we have one of the ABC stations. They have a transmitter around about 15 kilometers away, and it's pumping out 50 kilowatts of power 24/7. The CCEP radio picks that up in the background no matter what you're listening to, whereas the CCSW does not. It's just a pure signal, whatever you're tuned to. Selectivity is very, very good on the medium and shortwave bands, particularly when using the narrow band filter. I've listened to stations 9 kilohertz apart. They've been distant stations, and I've listened to them 9 kilohertz apart from local stations. Maybe in a later podcast, I can demonstrate this to you clearly. As I say, the problem here is that the Zoom H1 interferes with the radio quite a bit. If I had a reliable way of connecting this radio to the CC tunable antenna, then this wouldn't be such a problem. FM reception and selectivity is absolutely superb. No complaints whatever about this. And this is probably one of the strongest points of the radio. I've listened to weak stations, which are 200 kilohertz, either side of stronger stations. And there are very, very few radios that I've ever played with that can do this sort of thing. The only one I have in my collection that will do it is the old ICF 2001, which came out, 31 years ago. And I have a Denon tuner, hi-fi tuner, which will do it. But then again, you'd expect that of Denon products. So for Denon tuners, that's nothing unusual. Sensitivity on FM is excellent. I listen to stations on the FM band around about 200 mile away from here without a problem. And as I've said, these are weaker stations adjacent to stronger ones. And I can tune them in loud and clear. Stereo sound is good. And I would suggest to you that you consider at least a pair of reasonable computer speakers, perhaps, to connect to this radio to enjoy its full sound characteristics. Even the AM band sounds good with the wide filter applied. Once again, reminding us how good AM signals can sound. And if you've listened to the CCEP review done a couple of months ago, you get a pretty good idea of what the wideband filter sounds like. I think I wrap it up here. So if you have any questions or further comments, you can email me at d.trethowan, TRETHOWAN, at me.com. That's d.trethowan at me.com. You can read and comment on my blog posts. The address for my blog is www.grtdane.wordpress.com. I'll give that address to you again. www.grtdane.wordpress.com. I will be updating my blog as I explore this magnificent radio. So this is Dane Trethowan coming to you from my kitchen, sitting at my kitchen table. Thanks to the Zoom H1 for taking down my review. And now I think it's time for a cup of coffee and a couple of chocolate biscuits. Until next time, cheerio.